Tonight, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to talk about spiritual maturity tonight and spiritual growth. You know, we have not arrived. We will not have arrived until we get to heaven. And so tonight, the title of my message tonight is What We Need to Know and Grow. We have a single verse in text tonight. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And it says, But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This passage of Scripture exhorts us to have spiritual growth. The verse ahead of it gives a warning. It says that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, it says, Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away from the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. The warning is if you don't grow, you could fall away. If you don't grow, you could be deceived. Because it's not hard to trick a baby. And so there's a warning here. See, God's plan for us, as far as spiritually is concerned, is the same as physically. You get born, you have growth, and then you mature. But you know something? Many believers never mature as God intends us. We're out of God's will. We need to grow into the full stature of Christ. There are too many spiritual babies in churches today. It's a sad, sad thing. You know, we joke at the math kids that can't add. But there's Christians today that can't quote even a scripture. There's Christians today that cannot lead someone to Christ. There's Christians today that can't share their own personal testimony. There's Christians today that don't understand the fundamentals of grace and truth and mercy. We have too many spiritual babes today. There's indications of spiritual infancy all around us. We have Christians that like to gripe instead of being grateful. We have Christians that like to argue and talk about what should be done instead of taking the action that needs to be done. We have people that want to follow man instead of the master. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And Paul's writing to this church that had spiritual divisions and they were spiritual babies. And in verse 1, it says, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. Sunday night, we talked about three people that are present. There's the natural man, there's the spiritual man, and then there's a carnal man who's confused. He's a spiritual man that's not following spiritual principles. He's not following God's truth. And it goes on here, and in verse 2, I have to look there because I grubbed it off. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? Are ye not following men instead of the master? And so then he goes on and says, Who then is Paul, or who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? So how can we get on to the grow? How can we get spiritual growth into our lives? We need to do it God's way. There is no other way.
Amen.
You can't fix yourself. You need to have God fix you. You need to have the Holy Spirit get in your life. So the first thing is we need to know. We must know how to feed ourselves. A couple of chapters previous, it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, As newborn babes, Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. First of all, we need to realize where we are spiritually. And then we need to desire what we need in order to grow. And then we need to seek it and to take it. You know, proper food and proper growth at the proper time is what we need in order to feed ourselves. You know, today there's too much junk food out there. There's the wrong types. There's the worldly types. We got violence in the news. We have too much entertainment in our churches today instead of the truth. And then we have immorality everywhere you look. And if you're feeding your eyes with that and you're feeding your body with that, you're not going to grow spiritually. You're the carnal-minded man. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22 says, "He that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Now this person's not saved, but it has an application for a spiritual baby, for a carnal Christian. If you allow the world to get in the way of your spirit, you won't grow. You're going to go backwards. That's what backsliding is called. And so we need the proper food for proper growth at the proper time. You don't need worldly food to grow spiritually. It doesn't work. You don't need worthless food. Even things that sound good, but don't do your soul good to edifying. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4 says, I think that's the wrong thing. It says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. I believe that's chapter 4. But the issue is that some people get wrapped up. And they get wrapped up in what they think is spiritual, but it's not spiritual in anything. It sounds good, but it's fables and genealogies, and it's the minutia. It's what the Pharisees did about tithing. They tithe and mint and cumming, the little itty-bitty stuff, and they forgot the weightier matters of the law. And see, when you feed on the minutia, you forget the big stuff. Remember what Christ said about judging people? You sit there and you take the splinter out of someone's eye, but you don't understand the beam that's in your own eye. And that's the point is, you're feeding yourself with the wrong food. The wrong type of food. Either worldly or worthless spiritually. And then there is the wrong stage. You go into the baby food section, and what do? You find the stages food. And it starts out with that, and it's all meshed and everything else. And then what happens? As you get older and you get higher in stages, what do? You start getting something you can chew on. Well, the issue is, you could be at the wrong stage at the wrong time. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of straw meat." You start eating the wrong things too early, and you're not going to grow either. I had an algebra student who can't add ask me about showing him a calculus question. I said, "Why? There's no..." So I could go home and show my dad what I learned. "You don't know how to add. How can you go home and take calculus to him?" Didn't do it. But the issue is, that's what we want to all of a sudden arrive spiritually. No, you have to work at it.
Right.
You have to grow up. You have to eat the right type of food and get off the junk food. You have to get off the world's food of it. You have to get off of worthless food that doesn't do anything to your spirit. And then you need to learn what you need to eat at the right time. At the right time. So we need proper food for proper growth at the proper time. Now tonight I'm going to talk about three things that each believer must develop to have a strong devotional life. If you're doing this, great. If you're not, I strongly suggest that you do it. The first one is starting the day with God and His Word. Starting the day with God and His Word. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, it says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." But look at the next phrase. "He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." You want to get smarter? You have to work at it, which means you have to put some effort in it. You just can't run into church and say, "This is what I'm going to memorize scripture." We have to work at it. And you can start each day with God and His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. A very familiar. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth." Well, I'm not a morning person. You got to get up sometime. Get up with God. Get up with God. So may I suggest to you that in order to start a strong devotional life, that you need to start the day with God and His Word. "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it." Secondly, we need to take time for thanksgiving in prayer. It's more than praying over your meals. It's looking at things the way God looks at them. It's seeing things with a biblical worldview. In Psalm chapter 119, verse 164, we'll get there. We'll get there. It says, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." So the psalmist says, "I want to set aside seven times in a day to do this." Time to honor God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with" what? "With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." You know, sometimes when we go to pray, we just ask Him for stuff. We need to thank Him for the things that He gives us. We need to thank Him for the answers to prayer, because that should encourage us to pray even more. But you know what happens? It goes on, it says in verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God," which what? "Which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." And then it goes on to say this. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely." That's not junk food. "Whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Folks, we got to change the way we think. We got to change what we read, what we see, what we watch. We got to make some effort and make some time for it. So have a daily devotion with God and His Word. Basically, set some time apart for thanksgiving and prayer, and then find faith-building words for the day. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. We've gone through this. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to" what? "Thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against you." So if we don't hide God's word in our heart, how do we know right from wrong? That's the first step of growth. It's to recognize the need that you grow, get the right food at the right time for the right purpose to serve God's will. So we must know how to feed ourselves. And then secondly, we must know how to allow others to feed us. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see this day approaching." See, there's importance of the church in maturing. And the first one is church attendance. Church attendance is absolutely vital to spiritual growth. You don't go to school every day, what's going to happen? You're not going to pass. They're going to send the truant officer after you. Okay? Now, I'm not going to run after you and say, why aren't you in church? You know better than that. But you know something? How can we learn if we don't go to a place where we can get fed? So church attendance is vital to growth. There are people here that know God's word, and they can help to feed us. Christian fellowship here, as this verse says, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. I've learned a lot of things from a lot of people. And there is safety. And the multitude of counselors, there's what?
Safety.
And then there's opportunities for service to strengthen us. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, it talks about the church. We talk about what the mission of the church is to spread the gospel. But what is the function of the church in here? Is to edify one another and to grow us into the full stature of Christ. And it says here in verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we what? All come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more what? Children, it's time to grow up. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may what?
Grow up
into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom? The what? The whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the what? Effectual working in the measure of every part. What does that mean? Every one of us needs to have a part in the church. And in order to have our part, we need to learn what that part is. We need to grow into that part, and then we need to execute that part. Which increase, maketh increase of the body into the what? Edifying of itself in love. What we need to do is to allow others to feed us. That's expecting God to speak to us through others. Do we do that? Or do we just turn some people off? We need to allow God to speak through us. I have found out in our family's life, in our spiritual life, there have been people who come in and said, you need to do this. This is what God has for you. And showed a scripture and found out that they were right and led us down a different path. We need to see Christ in the lives of other believers. That means every one of us in here tonight needs to show Christ. We need to be an example to a lost and dying world about what Christ can do in a person's life. So we need to know God's word. We need to know that there's others that know God's words too and get around them and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Thirdly, we must know how to walk. There's a lot of people that try to run before they can walk. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, I'll tell you some things here. I'll tell you what walking in the Spirit is not. Walking in the Spirit is not grieving the Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, we have kids that might do something the wrong way. And what does it do as a parent that you've taught them to do the right thing and then they've done the wrong thing? That grieves you, right? That's exactly what we're talking about here. God shows us the right way to do it. And if we go out, we do something we know is wrong, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of promise. We are basically taking God's grace and using it as license. See, walking in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit, you wouldn't possibly grieve the Spirit. And the second thing is, you wouldn't quench the Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, quench not the Spirit. See, you memorized the Scripture tonight. That's easy to memorize right there. Four words. Four words, but they're powerful words. Because, folks, if we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to go where the Spirit tells us to. We're not going to do the same Spirit tells us not to do. Okay? We're going to do the right things. So we must know how to walk. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to walk in newness of life. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, therefore we are buried with Him, by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk in newness of life. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is new all day. We can find out and discover more about God every day. And so we need to walk in the Spirit, walk in the newness of life, and need to walk by faith. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. There's too much of, I need to see it in order to believe it bit in our lives today. So faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. We need to walk by faith and not by sight. We need to walk worthy of the Lord. That's what walking for God really is. It's walking worthy of the Lord. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that ye might what? Walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the what? Knowledge of God. That's spiritual growth, folks. You need to read it yourself. You need to have others feed you. We need to walk circumspectly. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, See that ye walk circumspectly, not as who? Fools. Let's stop being spiritually foolish. Let's do the right thing. But as what? But as wise. So we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to walk by faith. We need to walk worthy of the Lord. We need to walk circumspectly. We need to walk in the newness of life. We need to walk in love. Ephesians 5 verse 2 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And the last thing we need to do is we need to walk in the light. We have no fellowship with darkness, as it says in Corinthians. In Ephesians 5 verse 8 it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye what?
Light
in the Lord. And then here's the commandment. Walk as children of light. So we need to know how to feed ourselves. We need to let others feed us. We need to know how to walk. And then we can start running the race. And then we need to know how to reproduce. You know, this morning, the message was basically on come with us. Come with us. It was really a call for witnessing. A call for evangelizing. Come to the promised land, as Moses was telling Hobab. We need to witness. You know, fruit bearing is reproduction. In John chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Now, wait a second. If we're not bearing fruit, we're not being his disciples. Because fruit bearing is reproduction. And the issue is that the fruit of a tree is another tree. Now, I love Judy's pecans. I don't know how you say pecans. That's not, you know.
No.
We're not going to get into that. KJV for that is pecan, okay? That's what it is, okay? So the issue is you know, you eat up all those trees, you eat up all the nuts, and nothing will grow, okay? But if you leave those around, you'll get another pecan tree. The ones that you see all the time are the live oaks. You see live oaks and all they drop their acorns down and all of a sudden there's all these little live oak things going running around everywhere else. A tree reproduces another tree and that's its fruit. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. I want to give you some examples tonight. We've been talking about leading our family members to Christ. Andrew led his brother, Peter, to Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it said, "He first findeth his own brother Simon." That should have been a hint right there. "And said unto him, We have found the Messiah," which being interpreted, the Christ. There were 3,000 that were converted at Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And that started with 12 people preaching the gospel. And then about 120 in that group. And the early believers kept on multiplying. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Here's the issue. The Word of God needs to increase in our lives. Every one of our lives. And if the Word of God increases in our lives, then the Word of God will increase in our church. And then the Word of God will increase outside of the church. And we will be doing what God wants us to do. We will be reproducing. Believers who reproduce thrive and grow. So tonight, we need to know how to feed ourselves. That means that we need to start a strong devotional life. If you haven't started one, make that commitment tonight. Make that commitment to read. You don't have to read the Bible through in a year, but read something. Read some of the scriptures. Where would I start? If you want some recommendations, if you've never had a Bible reading program, start with the book of James. Just read a chapter a day. After you're done with James, go to Paul's letters and start reading Galatians and Philippians and Ephesians and Colossians. After you're done that, read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. After you're done that, read the Gospel of John. After you're done that, read Proverbs. But you need some sort of place to start. And then we need to understand, and when we come, we expect to be fed. And I pray that when you come to this church, that you're getting fed spiritually. Amen. With the truth. Then we need to learn how to walk. And that's not the way we think we should walk. It's the way that God says that we should walk. And then the last thing is we need to start reproducing. We need at least to invite people to church. That's simple. Say you'll take them to lunch afterwards. Everybody's good for a good bribe, okay? But the issue is we need to invite people to church. How can they get saved unless they hear the word of God?
Right.
So the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Tonight, how do we measure up? How do we measure up in our devotional life? How do we measure up in our worship life? How do we measure up in our walk? How do we measure up in our witnessing? Let's get back to the basics of growth. And let's follow them. The first step is, you need to be saved. Do you know where you spend eternity? If you say, I don't know, then you don't know. And you're not going there. I got great news. Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross.
Amen.
Was buried and rose again the third day. And he sits in heaven. He says, I did all this for you. If you just come to me and repent of your sins and come to God, ask him for the gift of eternal life, he'll get it. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
That's how you start. But let's not get stuck in baby steps. Let's get to the full stature of Christ. Amen. You know where we need, we all know where we need to grow. Let's do that. Let's make a commitment afresh to him tonight as we stand and we have this time of invitation. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask and just help us, Lord, to follow you. Help us, Lord, to grow the way you want us to grow so we'll go the way that you want us to go. Lord, I pray that you just be with this time of invitation. Have your Holy Spirit have full reign. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.